All right, we're teaching basically on living in the supernatural. And this whole idea about living supernaturally is God's idea. In fact, this is really where Adam started, because he was made and designed to function like God. And functioning like God means, ushers, just sit them down anywhere quickly so I can keep my mind on what I'm doing. And functioning like God, I mean, wherever they want to sit, let them sit, praise God. But functioning like God. And the idea is that a lot of times we think the supernatural is some whiz-bang, you know, firecracker going off. But the supernatural is really many times, most times, happening in a way that you don't even notice it's happening, you know? And so I want you to get a kind of a new thinking about the supernatural, that it doesn't mean that something startling just happened and so forth. That could happen with the supernatural, but most times it doesn't. And so I want you to understand that the Word of God is supernatural, and that it can change things without you really being aware that they're changing. And it's supernatural. Now, what we said, we got in this area where we're talking about kingdom families. And anytime you mention the kingdom of God, you're talking about the supernatural. It refers to the supernatural, the Hebrew word. Now, we are looking at this area called the family, because it is essential that if we're to move forward with God, the enemy is not just going to lay down and let you take more land. So as he comes against the people of God, we want to make sure that you are shored up on every side, that you've got your home Satan-proofed. And he can't get in there and do anything to distract you as you're moving ahead with your job. We don't want you to be successful in your job and lose your wife or lose your husband or lose your family. That's not the idea. The idea is about everything is protected, because everything's under that blessing. Say amen to that. So now, also, we said that the enemy is out to stamp out the Word of God. He knows that if you keep him in the book, he's whipped. He knows that. And your job is to keep him there. And no matter what the situation looks like, your reply and response is the Word of God. You're going to respond just like the Word says. So that's part of this understanding of the kingdom, because what we've heard a lot about is church and different denominations. But what about the kingdom? Because when you're talking about the kingdom, you're talking about something beyond these four walls, and that God wants it all back. Praise God. Now, we talked last time about the family, and that the family is the prototype of society. If you know anything about a prototype, you know that cars, sometimes we see the car show come here to Chicago, the auto show, and they have what they call, what do they call those cars? Concept cars. They're not mass producing them yet. They're just trying to see how the public would take those cars. And they have them there, and it's maybe one or two that they've made. It's called a prototype. If you have a new invention, you take that new invention and you get enough money to make a prototype. Why? Because you're trying to sell it to venture capitalists or whoever, and trying to get them to buy into the idea so you have enough money to mass produce it and so forth. So basically, the family is the prototype of society. And if we are talking about the prototype, it is the original or model on which something is based or formed. I looked up the word prototype, the model on which something is based or formed. So God created the family to be the model of what society or a nation should look like. the family, all right? Now, the problem with that is that if I'm looking at the family and getting my perception of how the nation should look or society should look, that if the family is defective, the nation is going to be defective. Does that stand the reason? Okay. So the idea about it is that we got to make sure the family is whole, because if the family is sick, the community is going to be sick. Or if the family is strong, the community or nation is going to be strong. So what is Satan coming to do? He comes to work on that family. Let's go back again to Psalms chapter 11. Psalms chapter 11. And in Psalms chapter 11, we use this as a foundational place or scripture. And he says in verse 3, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? So if you want to know what's ailing society, I can tell you right now what you need to do is look at the family. And you need to start right there. Because society is only going to be as strong as a family. And so God is the one who put the family together. And that this family, the idea about the family, is that everything comes out of there. And that if you look at corruption in our government, what we need to do is understand the government is not some man, with an American flag suit on, but the government is people. And with a government with people, these people are made up from families. And so we need to look at, if there's corruption or immorality in the government, we need to look at the family. Or if there's problem in the church or the pulpit, we need to look at the family. Or in business, we need to go back to the family. Because the family, he says in the scriptures, train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, this is not just a suggestion, it's a law. What's happening. So if we look at what's going on in society, the gangs, drug problems, and so forth and so on, we can trace it all back to a family problem. So we need to get this family straight. I'm telling you, folks, as I'm getting into this, I see how important this teaching on the family really is, especially if you're going to move into the billion flow. I just had to throw that out there, okay? So society basically is a reflection of the family. Society is a reflection of the condition of the family, and in other words, what this family is or what this family is doing is a product of, or what society is doing is a product of the family. And one of the main purposes of the family is to secure society. Now, I'm going to talk about that a little bit more, because God created the family to protect the future. And we'll talk about that. Now, when we're talking about the foundation of the family, we're talking about the male man. And we're saying that the male man is to be the teacher, to be the cultivator, to be the provider, and also to be the protector. So that person, a male, has that in him. In other words, that's why he likes to work. Sometimes she calls, she says, hey, are you still at work? Yeah, I'm trying to finish up this, so forth and so on. One of the things about it, he likes to work. The other thing he likes to do is provide. Now, of course, you got some men that lay around, they don't do anything and so forth and so on. But that's a perversion. That's not a normal man. That's a deadhead. And so you got to understand, yeah, you know, you have all this. You got, guy over there, and then you got the hoochie mama over there. So you got all these kind of folks. Now, but we're not talking about them. We're talking about normal folk right now, okay? All right. So this man, male man, is designed to be a leader. He's designed to be a leader. God made him that way. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 one more time, please. 1 Corinthians and chapter 11. God made him that way. Now, remember what I said. If you want to whip Satan, keep him in the book. You keep him in the book, you got him. All right, look what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I have delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is who? Christ. And the head of the woman is who? The man. And the head of Christ is God. So everybody's under authority somewhere. All right. So in this, you know, if the male wants to lead his family, then if he doesn't know what to do, then he can go to his head. He can consult God, and God will give him what to do. Why? Because he has put him there. He wasn't elected by the kids and by the wife. He was put there by God as to lead that family. But he leads them based on his understand he's under the authority of Christ. So I'm just saying, nobody's by themselves. Nobody's out there by themselves just hunting around, wondering what to do. Now, there's a move of darkness, of course, to dismantle the traditional family, to family unit, and because it is sacred. Anything sacred, the devil is after, because he is unholy. He wants to tear up anything that's holy, and the family is holy. And society is attempting to restructure the family. Now, let me get into my notes for today. Hallelujah. Now, that's some of that's review, and you can get the note, get the tapes. You know, we got the tapes, CDs out there. You can tell what generation I came from. You got the CDs out there and so forth. All right, so what we said, one thing, it starts with finding the right mate. Finding the right mate. Now, God, marriage is God's idea. You don't have to get married. Paul elected not to be married because he found out that he could be freer to do what he needed to do without being married. So people can elect not to be married. And the society today tries to make it seem like if you're not married, you're some kind of a whatever and so forth. But that is not the case. Society only did that. That's not God at all. The Bible says it's better to marry than to burn. In other words, if a person sees that they can't, live a pure, holy life without being married, then get married and so forth. And so we're going to talk about that too, not today. But I'm saying that because there's a lot of work out here to do for God. And some people elect, hey, this is the way I want to live. And that is just fine. That's fine with God and so forth. You know, the society have it and say, now, how old is she? Well, she's about 40 years old. She hadn't made it yet. What do you mean, made it? What does that mean? You know, okay, I'm just saying that, so you got to watch that kind of talk. Okay, what we said about finding the right mate, one, is that God puts it together. I won't go back to the scriptures. The Bible says what the Lord puts together, no man puts asunder. So God brought Eve to Adam. Am I right about it? Okay. And then also, giving of your name. We talked about in the Hebrew, the name means a lot. The name means a lot. And that a man gives a woman his name. But when you give a woman your name, basically what you're saying, Adam is the one who named Eve. And he named Eve, but whatever you name, you are responsible for. So once he gave her his name, he's responsible to care for her. Every step of the way. Say amen to that. And if you look at here, look at Ephesians chapter 3, if you will. Ephesians chapter 3. And Ephesians chapter 3, look what it says here. And this is a prayer of Paul, but look in this prayer, there's a revelation. He says in verse 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family keep going in heaven and earth is named. So we've been named. We've been named. We have a name. Abraham was renamed by God. Turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, please. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1. If you don't know where the scriptures are, look on the board, get the tape, and write it down. Here's God, and God's speaking to Joseph. Verse 20, Matthew 1, 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name who? Jesus. for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, it's kind of interesting, but God gave him that name. God gave him the name of Jesus, and the head of Christ is God. Praise God. So, name. So, women, be very aware whose name you receive. Because you got to make sure that he's going to get up in the morning and do what he's supposed to do for the family. Say amen to that. Yeah, I'm just saying, don't go into that thing hastily. Remember what we discovered over in Deuteronomy chapter 24, I think it is. He said that whoever gets married, they take off from work how long? 1 year. Why did you think they took off for 1 year? They get to know each other. Praise God. Because that first year of marriage is usually the toughest. Why? Because two people are becoming one. They have to get to know each other. I'm telling you, because you're going to find that he's going to squeeze the toothpaste from the top and leave the toilet seat down, you know, or whatever. So you got to know and got to get used to these things. And women, you're going to have to train him in the way that he's supposed to go, right? I'll tell you, a woman feels that that house is hers. I'm going to tell you that right now. You don't believe it, put a glass down on some of her furniture. I'm telling you. Man, I said, baby, we can buy some more furniture if we need to. No, don't put that glass down on my furniture like that. I said, okay, where is my spot then? Where is my spot? Give me a spot somewhere so I could just do what I want to do. I went to somebody's house. If I know him, everybody in here would know who I'm talking about. And I just don't want to say it because I don't want to know whose house it is. But he said, come on here, let me take you to my room. Now, and he took me to a room looked like a gymnasium or something. And everything, I mean, he had a whole wall there that you mashed a button in all these different kinds of movies and so forth, and he had his bed. He said, now watch this bed. Hit a button, and the bed rose up in the ceiling. Boom. I said, wow. He said, but this is man's room. This is, you know, and it looked like him, you know. That. So give me my spot. Just give me my spot, and that'll be cool. Okay. So what is happening, again, the institution of marriage is really under attack, and institution of marriage between a man and a woman. And it's one of the reasons things that have happened is people have gotten away from God. And the Bible says into our nation, blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord. And that's in the book of Psalms. And so we want to stay blessed. We got to stay under God. And we, you know, one time they wanted to take under God out of the Pledge of Allegiance. And they wanted to take under God out of that, one nation under God. Why? That's the enemy's work. And he would like to do that. Also, there is situational ethics. In other words, people are basing life on practices and not principles. And so we got to get back to principles, because if you train up a child in principles, no matter where that child goes, that child will be able to keep those principles at work and stay out of trouble, because the Bible guarantees you success if you stay with godly principles. And then the next thing, people are calling evil good and good evil. That's what it says in the Bible, that the days are coming where people are going to start calling evil good and good evil. Let's go over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And it says in the last days, these are the days that we're in right now, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you look here, he says in verse 1, I'll start there. Thus know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Perilous times are times that are difficult to deal with. For men shall be lovers of who? Their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. That's describing the things that are going on here right now, okay? And also, there are works of the flesh. When people don't know God, they have nothing to live under but the flesh. Let's go to Galatians in chapter 5. Now, the reason why I'm bringing up a lot of scriptures to you is to let you know that the foundation of where we've got to stand is on the Word of God. We don't have anything else. And look what it says here in verse 18. But if you are led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. And it says here, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, and so forth, so on, so on. And these are works of the flesh. And so we have to understand that God is calling us to just obey Him and His Word, and that keeps us walking in the Spirit and receiving the blessings of God. And that's the end product of what He wants in our lives. Now, the Bible says that we are overcomers. Let's go to Revelation, please, in chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. Are you with me so far? All right. In Revelation chapter 12, it says here in verse 9, and that great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil. He's naming him three times, so you'll know for sure who he is. And Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. All right, verse 11, I'll go all the way down there. And they overcame him by what? The blood of the Lamb, and by the what? Word of their testimony. All right, I want to show you two things with that. Let's go first to 1 Peter, which is just almost by the book of Revelation, 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. If you're having problems getting to some of these scriptures quickly, please just write them down. You can get, if you're a visitor, you can get our free CD, and you can go over it at your own leisure. He says, look at this, verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. The mighty hand of God is the Word of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for what does He do? He cares for you. Be sober and be vigilant, because your who? Adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may desire. The devour. Now, isn't it just like the devil when you're moving ahead with your family, you're getting promotions at your job and so forth? Here he comes to try to seek you out and so forth. So you're going to always have to understand that you have a choice of what you're going to do. And God always leaves you with a choice, because he is not forcing you into whatever he wants you to do. He still leaves you with a choice, because you have a free will, which was given by God. Let's go to Deuteronomy in chapter 30, and this is your response to whatever the devil does. And if you can just keep this in mind, you can always win. Praise God. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Are you there? Say praise the Lord. Look at verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I've set before you what? Life and death. Keep going. Blessing and cursing. Therefore choose what? Life, that both you and your seed may live. All right? He tells you there's two choices going to be before you. You're going to either have choose life, or you're going to choose death. Now, you can choose them by the words that you speak. So you can choose life by saying things of God, or you can choose death by speaking what the devil said. And if you speak the words of the enemy, then you'll get that which the enemy is trying to make happen in your life. I mean, that's the result of what you get, because it's still the law of sowing and reaping. So it didn't say the devil was a lion. It says he's as a lion. I don't have time, but I can show you in the book of Psalms where his teeth got knocked out. And so he's a toothless tiger. All right? Now, let's go to Ephesians chapter 6 very quick. Now, I'm trying to really make some time. Ephesians chapter 6. Now, you and I are not fighting an intellectual devil. You and I are not fighting an intellectual devil. He doesn't care anything about how many PhDs you have. That will not stop him. I can guarantee you that. And so what you have to do is know that you're fighting a spiritual battle. And here's what I want you to do. Look at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you... verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities, keep going, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness, where? In high places. All right. Okay, let's just skip down here because I want to get to something here. So the enemy is not going to sit by and just watch you and your family prosper. So he knows that if you prosper, you'll become not only an influence, but people will look at you and figure they can live that way too and want to know what you have. So your family actually can become a witness of Jesus Christ in your life. Say amen to that. I like that. All right. Now, one of the biggest problems with this marriage of what's going on now, I've found, is that people have the wrong image. They have the wrong image. An image is an interesting thing. What's in you is created around you, meaning what's inside of you is created outside of you. That's an image. Your subconscious mind is the thing that regulates 80, 90% of your life. And so you're going to have what you say. And as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You become. So people have the wrong image of a marriage. And the reason why is because we collected that image from some of the things and people around us, or television or movies or whatever people do. You know, there are people that still sit up and watch Days of Our Lives. Now, hey, don't get mad at me now. No, there's nothing wrong with that. But I think for a believer to watch that, you're taking a chance of putting something, sowing a seed that might not be healthy for you in your life. Because it eventually, you'll wonder if your husband's out there doing something. Or if your wife, I'm talking about if you look enough of that, because that's the way we are, folks. We're made that way. And television, it's telling you somebody else's vision. And God gave you a vision. And so I'm only saying that some of those soaps and so forth like that are not the healthiest thing that people can watch. Now, I'm not coming against anybody's favorite television program, okay? But I'm just telling you, you might want to watch that because it might end up in diminishing returns. And when you tell people about this, they even get mad at you. The reason why is because they need a dope. They need a fix every day. They need to turn that thing on, get a little fix on that, you know, and watch that and start thinking and so forth. You got to get away from that, man. Grow up. Get out of here. Sell the TV. And, all right, that's one problem with marriage. Wrong image. The next is the problem with marriage is people think they're right. They don't want to take any instructions. That's why more people don't come listen to this. Oh, you don't know what he's talking about. I'm not talking. God is talking. So, you got to understand that maybe somebody knows something that you don't know. You know, if you don't agree with them, they want to put you down. Yeah. And then go to somebody who's been married 8 times to give them some advice. All right, the third one is they come into marriage 50-50. And marriage is not 50-50, because 50-50 means you're whole, you're half, and she's half. But 100-100 means that's when they come together. So wait till you get single, whole, and unique. When you know who you are, now it's time for you to get, if you'd like, you can get married. Are you with me here? Now, the last one is that to walk in the truth. You know, once you have heard the word, the next thing you got to do is make up your mind you're going to live it. The Bible says that ye shall know the truth, come on, and the truth shall make you free. Now, let me give you this. This is Brother Hagin here. He gave an example one time of his wife, Aretha. And he said that what he had is that she was sick and having some problems, flu, whatever have you. And he said, she said, you know, Ken, I want you to pray for me. He said, okay. So he prayed for and believed God, praised God, and that was it. They touched and agreed. And then he went to church. He was a pastor at that time, went to church. So he came back home. It was about late at night, 11 o'clock. And she said, well, how was service? He said, oh, it was just great. Did y'all pray for me? He said, no. Why didn't y'all pray for me? He said, we prayed for you. You and I prayed. But that you need them to pray too. He said, well, wait a minute. Why does it say the effective, fervent prayer of the righteous will avail much? And we believe we've received when we pray. She got mad and went in and closed the door. Now, my point to you is that, you know, we have to walk out what this says here. Really. And not be led so much by emotion, but be led by the truth. Say amen to that. Amen. All right. Also, the last one. People come into marriage and problems develop because they haven't forgotten the past. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 13. Philippians chapter 3. That's the next book over. Philippians chapter 3. Look at verse 13 and 14. He says this, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the what? Mark for the what? Prize of the what? High calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, realize that God is making us like him. Well, let's see how God treats us. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. Amen. Am I doing okay? Are we doing okay? Isaiah chapter 43. You see what I'm doing now? I'm taking all the emotion out of it. And I'm just giving you the word of God. Now it's going to be up to you to apply it. Are you following what I'm saying? All right. Look what it says here. In Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 25, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake. And I will not, come on, remember thy sins. That's what God thinks about you. Now, that's what he wants you to do in terms of thinking about some other folk. And that's what Jesus told the disciples, if they sin against you, 8 times in a day or whatever, you shall forgive them. They said, Lord, you're going to have to give me some more faith for that. And I'm going to dot his I, praise God. I know how we feel about it. But think about Joseph. His brothers mistreated him. They were going to kill him at first, then threw him in a pit, and then sold him as a slave. They watched him being taken away in chains and taken away by the Ishmaelites. He turned back, and they were laughing as he was taken away. That's a reason to be mad as H-E double hockey sticks. And so what happened? He had to forgive him. I said he had to forgive him. And not only does God forgive you, but he forgets it, man. So it can't be as soon as one little thing happened, you bring up the whole laundry list. You know you did that back in 1949. You did the same thing and so forth. All right. When you really release the past to God, then blessings reign in your life. be surprised how many blessings they hold up. All right, let's talk just a little bit more. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5, please, and verse 31. Ephesians 5 and 31. Oh, I'm telling you, amen. This makes you grow up, doesn't it? No, you can't be led by your feelings. Well, you got to see, what did the Lord say? Because I've got to report to Him. All right. Okay, let's look at this now. And it says here, Ephesians chapter 5, and verse, what did I say? 31, all right? For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Okay? So a man and a woman. This is a great mystery. And as I speak concerning Christ and the church. So the husband and wife are to reflect Christ and the church. All right? That's God's original plan. Say amen to that. All right. Now, let's go to chapter 6 and verse 1. He goes right into it. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, children take a man and a woman to have them. I don't care how you try to slice it. Are you following what I'm saying? This God made this man to carry that seed. And she be the receiver of that seed. And there's no other way you can do it. Now, what the enemy is trying to do now is create some big sperm banks, you know. Because he's trying to, you know, work his system. Next verse. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Now, obviously, he's talking to the children. That it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. Oh, now I see why lives are cut short. Very interesting. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, watch this, but bring them up in the what? Nurture and admonition of the Lord. What does the word nurture mean? It means training. All right, let's look a little to that. So God's original plan for man and woman to live together, man and his wife. He original planned for them to love each other, for her to love him, for him to love her, and for her to respect him. Say amen to that. Amen. And then he meant for them to bring up children together, those who would get married, bring up children together. Now, this they were to pass on to the children the instructions that God had given them. So the children were supposed to be taught. We call it, where I came from, home training. Amen. We see somebody out there acting up in class or whatever have you, we used to say, boy, he doesn't have any home training. See, we weren't expecting the teacher in the class to teach him home training. He is supposed to learn home training from home. Now, this plan was interrupted by the fall of man. And once mankind fell, he or she got separated from God. And they are no longer understood their purpose. So now they're called dysfunctional. Now all of a sudden they don't see children as the future. They see children as a problem. Got it? And now they don't value their kids. They don't invest in them. They don't do extra things to make sure that kid learns this. You see, why would you abuse somebody who in the future was going to take care of you? Obviously, they're perverted in their thinking. But now this child's a problem. Problem, that's your future. All right? So common sense will tell anybody, and we're not dealing with common sense, we're dealing with God sense. Put the best in your child. Do the best possible for your child. Because children are the future. Lord have mercy. Woo, boy, that'll preach by itself. Now realize this. We need the future in order to survive for humanity. So children are that future. They are born to leave home. Children are born to leave home. Come on back over here. Come on back to Numbers chapter 14. I see I'm not going to finish this today. Numbers chapter 14, please. Is this all right with everybody that I talk about this? Now, this is when the adults weren't acting right. They refused, my Lord, they refused to believe God. And so now God has to do something with them because he's got a future for Israel. And he's got to take them into that future. Well, that's why you keep the line. In other words, each one of the generations is a link in the chain to a future of a family. If you look here when Joshua distributed the land, he distributed the land by families. The Bible says over in Genesis chapter 12, when he talked to Abraham, in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. He didn't say society be blessed. He didn't say that the nation would be blessed. He said the families be blessed. God is family man. Glory to God. He is interested in your family, your whole family. And that's why even when the man is a centurion, the Philippian jailer who was holding Paul and Silas in jail, and they prayed and at midnight saying praise to God, and an earthquake came and it opened all the prison doors, and here was the Philippian jailer said, hey, you know, he thought they had escaped, and he pulled out his knife to kill himself, and Paul said, do yourself no harm, we're all here. And they had stayed right there because they're under the leadership of the Lord. And they stayed there. And the man said, well, what must I do to be saved? He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved and your house. I'm telling you, when you get saved, it's just an indication that your whole family is going to be saved. Look what he said here. Children are your future. Look what he said. Now this is God. Now he's angry about the fact that they didn't believe him and these grown folk. And he said, verse 28, say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do. Your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and all that were numbered of you according to your whole number from 20 years old upward, which have murmured against me, doubtless you shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, which you said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. In other words, I'm gonna take your kids. Your kids are the future, folks. Children are born to leave home. One day they're going to leave home. The parent's job is to prepare the child to leave home. And if you put the right principles in the child, you train him up in the way that he or she should go. And when they are old, they will not depart from it. Now, a child grows to a teen, and a teen must be given progressively more responsibility. Don't start them out with a whole load. Start them out with a light load. Then expand that. And then expand that. Now understand, you can put your foot down. Say, nope, you're not going out there tonight. No, you're not going out there. Now, what does that do? That is your way of disciplining a child. A child must be disciplined. Discipline is a thing that looks to the future, and it is indispensable in the life of a child. Discipline even communicates that you love them. that you care about them. Say amen to that. Over in Lord have mercy. Give me two more minutes. Let me have two more minutes. Let's go to a couple of places, if you will. Because the final say belongs to the parent. And some parents don't step up. But understand, anytime God puts you in a position, he anoints you. I remember this story, and it's a true story, where this woman was living by herself alone on a farmhouse. She was about, 80 years old or so. And they had a prison break at the prison that was not too far away, a few miles away. And they caught two of the prisoners, but one of them was still at large. And this particular prisoner came to that house. And he came to that house, and he looked in the window, saw her, and he had gotten a hold of a gun. And he came in there and pointed the gun at her and told her to drop the pan and put her hands up. She slowly turned around to him and said, "You better put that gun down and get something to eat. Sit down there and get something to eat." Ended up taking him back to the prison. You know why? Because there's a word called confidence. Now, I don't know whether you know this or not, but confidence allows the anointing to flow. See, that's why the enemy doesn't want you to stand up with confidence. Once the anointing flows in your life, every demon will bow because it's the presence of God. I'm out of time. I gotta quit because I'm about to go into something here. One more scripture, praise God. Proverbs chapter 24, look at that. See, God gave Adam knowledge to protect himself. If you don't have any knowledge, my people are destroyed. Why? Because of lack of knowledge. And if you don't have this knowledge in the church, even in the church, you'll be operating like a natural man. And that's not good enough, because God told you in Deuteronomy chapter 7, I'm about to take you into a land that they're mightier than you are. They're stronger than you are, but they're not stronger than God and you. So you need God in everything that you, what did I tell you to turn? Praise God. Proverbs chapter 24. Well, I got to quit. Look at Proverbs. I'm trying to turn over a new leaf. Ah, hallelujah. Look at Proverbs 24 and verse 5. A wise man is strong. Yea, a man of knowledge increases strength. Verse 10. If you faint in the day of adversity, it's because of what? Your strength is small. You see, when you don't have knowledge, you don't have confidence. And when you don't have confidence, the power doesn't flow through you. But to get that power to flow through you, you got to know who you are. And that woman, even though she was way out there in those woods, she knew who she was. She knew even a person with a gun could not stand before her. And took that man back to prison, and they said, that's a true story. Give the Lord a praise. That's all we have. We'll continue on next time. If you are here and God has spoken to your heart about being born again, this is a new year. Make it be a new year in your life. It's a time for you to make a new start. You've been struggling long enough. You've been putting it off long enough. You've been ashamed long enough.